Listening Dog Media.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
He's one of England's most capped international players.
Seaman is the man here.
He's one of the world's most decorated goalkeepers.
And it's somehow kept out by Seaman. That is a fantastic save.
This is Seaman Says with David Seaman.
And Seaman, what a magnificent save.
Hear him.
Breathtaking.
Like never before.
Hello and welcome back to Seaman Says with me, David Seaman, and Lindsay Hooper. Our guest this week is a comedian and author who has written the most iconic football song. Welcome, David Baddiel.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh, here he is.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
Are you all right? Two of the other people on this call. I know who David is.
I'm Lindsay.
Hi.
I'm Adam.
Hello. Hello. How are you doing this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Good, thank you.
What are you up to now, David?
Right now, I am this book that is about anti-Semitism. I'm busy. This is the paperback just come out. And I'm also doing a documentary about that, but I'm doing 1,000 things, David. I'm writing a musical. I'm doing a documentary. And I'm supposed to be writing a new kids book, because I write kids book now, but I haven't started that yet. And I think it's meant to be delivered in about a month. So I'm not going to think about
it. Where do you find the time?
I don't. you'll find that when I say to the publishers, it's not ready. I haven't found the time. I do a lot of stuff. I think it's because I don't know about you, but I came from a background where basically my parents said, you know, do what you can to get out of the situation you're in, which is kind of very dull, lower class, Dollis Hill life, a place in London called Dollis Hill I grew up in. And So I took that to heart. I did many things in my life, but now I think I should be slowing down because I'm 57.
Especially after a pandemic, David, as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Carried on.
People said during the pandemic, I mean, it's still on, obviously, but during hard lockdown, people were saying, oh, you know, you'll be all right. You can write this, you can write that. But what they forgot is I got two children, right? And they were not at school during the pandemic. And they were making a lot of mess and requiring a lot of clearing up and a lot of care and whatever. I mean, they're quite old, but they still seem to require all that stuff. So I didn't. I seemed to have less time, as far as I could make out, then. Are we actually are we recording all this?
Yeah, why not?
Do you get to go to Stamford Bridge Day?
Yeah, yeah. I go. So I go with my brother, Ivor Badil. And Ivor Badil is the reason I support Chelsea, because we were from North London. But when we were, so when I was six and he was eight, Chelsea won the FA Cup in 1970. And we were watching the telly. And I remember just about him jumping up when David Webb scored the winning goal against Leeds. And I sort of did everything that my older brother did, you know, when I was a kid. So I just followed him into Chelsea fandom, right? And the problem with that was, and this is really for people in my generation, is Chelsea were good then. They were the fancy Dan. They were the flair side. By the time I was old enough to actually go, it was a side dominated by a player called Mickey Droy, who was not a player.
I remember him.
And we were quite bad for about 20 years. We were knocking between the first and second divisions and whatever. So it was quite grim going to Chelsea then until I'd been tricked, you see, by this team I'd seen on the telly. But it was too late then. And then we got good again in the 90s and whatever. So, yeah, I still go as every home game. If I can, I'll definitely go. I don't go to that many away games because I am well known enough, particularly in football circles, that I can't hide. I once went to a game at Newcastle. I had a girlfriend in Newcastle and I went to Chelsea Newcastle and we were sitting with the Newcastle fans. And I think I ended up just being hoisted on there. At one point, I think they got hold of me and they were just, I was being forced to crowd surf. It was quite friendly. It was quite friendly, but I was basically crowd surfing on these Newcastle fans in a way that was not entirely comfortable.
They must sing it at you as well. You know what I'm talking about.
Not at Chelsea much, I'll be honest with you. If I go see England, yeah. during the last Euro 2020, what was it? Was it called 2021? Or 2020, I can't.
2020, I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
Even though it was in 2021. That's really a lot. But during the European Championships, you know, me and Frank were going, you know, like we have done for years, actually. Now going to an England game, going to an England tournament, and what we did was have masks on because we were allowed to have masks. Obviously, I have worn masks before. Back in the day, I remember going to the World Cup in 2006. And there was, I wore a comedy old man mask that I painted the cross of St. George's. It was a mask I could buy in Munich. It was called Alter Manner, old man. It got confiscated in the game against Portugal because it's against the rules in case you're a hooligan to wear a mask. Because they think, oh, he's trying to not be caught on CCTV. But that wasn't true. I was just trying not to be spotted by England fans who go crazy for selfies. And yes, to answer your question, just want to join in and sing Three Lions with us. It's coming home over and over again.
I've got to ask you then, with that in mind, because obviously that's the nearest we've got in the Euros this summer. How does it feel when it's come round again? I think there's probably been a few times in your career that you've thought that you've waved goodbye to that and it won't sort of be resurrected for a third, fourth time, but it always does. It is the song that England fans go with.
Yeah.
And then in my case, for instance, when we got really overexcited, I remember I put a tweet out and I just put it's ...
Yeah.
And everyone knew what I meant. And that's all from your song.
Yeah. Well, I did that as well, actually. I didn't nick it from you. The idea. England were playing Colombia in the last World Cup. I think it was it Colombia? No, it might have been Sweden. We won 2-0. And I put it when the first goal went in, coming when the second goal came in, then when the final whistle went, I put home and did a big picture of Frank giving me a hug because we were watching the game together. I will tell you one thing about that, which is about 3 months later, I noticed that tweet, the one that just said home, with a picture of Frank giving me a hug and a kiss, was being tweeted a lot in the San Francisco area. which reinterpreted as an image of cosy gay domesticity, which is lovely. But yeah, people do know what it means straight away. I mean, I must talk about one specific thing because we've got, you know, I'm on the David Seaman podcast. I must take us back to 1996, and I've told this story a million times, but because you're here, I'm going to tell it again because I think it's you changed my universe, right? And you did it in a very specific way, which was during that tournament, David will remember, England didn't kick off to a great start. And actually the song, it had gone to number one, but it then got knocked off by the Fugees. And we thought that's the end of it. It was nice to have a number one, but that's the end of that thing. But it wasn't. And it wasn't because England played Switzerland, didn't play very well. Everyone thought this tournament might be a bit of a washout like they often are. Didn't play that well in the first half against Scotland either.
True.
But then, right, Gary McAllister gets a penalty. This bloke saves it, kicks the ball upfield. Gazza scores the most incredible goal. We win that game. And then the DJ, against the wishes of the FA, because the FA had said, don't play that song against Scotland, there might be trouble. He just put it on, and the whole crowd sung the song. No one had a sense that it was something that had taken root in people's minds. And everyone knew the words. And that time, there's no big screen. There's no karaoke screen. Wembley. People just knew the words. So, David, you started it all. If you had let that goal in, if Yuri Geller, right, hadn't... apparently that was very important too, but if you hadn't saved, it was a great save as well, if you hadn't saved that penalty from Gary McAllister and that Scotland had beaten us or been a draw, the whole thing might not have happened.
Yeah, exactly. We had Yuri Geller on.
Yeah. Oh, do you have Yuri Geller on? Is he still saving the ball?
And we asked him about it and asked him, well, where were you when we played Germany in the penalty shootout?
Yeah, where were you during the entire history of us failing?
He thought he was very important, didn't he, old Yuri?
he always says, oh, I did this after the event. Like when, if it's a good thing, he's always there saying, yeah, it was me. And then he sort of vanishes.
I wonder why that could be.
Yeah. I didn't see him anywhere after we lost the penalty shootout to Italy. No sign of Yuri Geller.
Yeah. David, I remember seeing clips of when we did the video. Do you remember that at Bisham Abbey?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and all of us trying to sing.
The song. Do you mean when we brought the song or when we recreated... Naeem's goal against you.
I've
worked with David before. We may not want this to be known, but we recreated Naeem's incredible goal in which it went incredibly high. And I played you with an extreme ponytail. I do remember going to Bisham Abbey. When we went to Bisham Abbey to do the video, which was great, but a bit that wasn't so great, but quite funny, is that you probably don't remember this, David. We actually played it on a beatbox. We brought the song on a beatbox, Ian Brody and me and Frank, and we played it to the entire squad. Got nothing. Basically, no one seemed to like it. No one said anything. The only person who said anything was Terry Venables, who had his car keys in his hand, and he was going like this. And he said, oh, it's a right key tapper. And I thought, that's not a thing. No one ever said that. So that was the best we got then.
We've had that in quotation marks on the back of the single.
Yeah, exactly.
Terry, it's a right key tapper.
Yeah. I think it might have been something to do with, like, it's putting a little bit more pressure on us.
Yeah.
seeing it's coming on.
But apparently, tell me if this is true. I've always heard that when the song did start to happen and everyone was singing it and it was associated with, you know, England and Euro 96, that you were listening to it. Gazza would put it on the coach.
On the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time on the coach.
Right. Because then that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to, you know.
But it was, David, just as we started approaching Wembley.
Oh, right.
You know, so it was like the last thing that we heard and then we went out and it was...
Brilliant.
Honestly,
it was... So in terms of it being sung by fans on the terraces, it still is, obviously, but the time that I remember it being sung, just it's coming home, more intensely than any other time, and it still is, I think, is when Alan Shearer scored against Germany, right? Because he scores after 12 minutes, or quite early, isn't he?
Yeah.
And there's this real sense, oh, we're going to win. You know, we're going to turn around years and years and years of England not winning a major tournament. It was wrong. It was wrong. But it was like the crowd thought they could mantra England home just by saying it's coming home over and over again. It was really exciting.
Yeah, no, and the only thing, the worst time that I've ever heard it sung, Germany sung it after they won the final. Oh, my.
They still do, actually. It got, Germany have versions of the song and...
Oh, that shouldn't be allowed. Can you not do something about that, David? This is
probably a bit xenophobic, but don't cut it out. I think it's all right. Like, I always thought that's so German, right? Because it's like, well, we have won the tournament, we will have the song, right? It was ours now. What's wrong with that? And you may not know this, actually. We were asked, me and Frank, because they so did decide it's our song, we were asked to go and sing it in that year, I think, in 1996, at the end of that year, on German TV, on their equivalent of Sports Personality of the Year. It's not a voting thing, but they have a sporting review of the year. And we went and did it, but we wore red 1966 England shirts, right? And they said, can you take those off? And we said, no. They said, can you take them off? Uwe Seeler's here. He's going to be upset. We said, no, we're leaving them on. And so we sung that song on German TV wearing red England shirts.
I love that. That's ace.
So it's really not just ingrained in the English psyche of the game. It's taken root internationally then.
Yeah, and actually, to make a serious-ish point, sometimes the song gets criticised. Who was it now? That Croatian player. I've forgotten his name now. The one who played for Spurs. What's his name? Croatian player?
Oh, Modric.
Yeah, Modric. I think in the last World Cup, when we lost to Croatia, he had said, oh, well, we were fired up against England because they think they own football because of football's coming home, right? I always thought that's not what it's about at all. It's really not about that. And actually, if you listen to the song, it's a song about how it's a song for all fans because it's really a song about how you probably think your team's going to do badly, but if you just believe enough, then maybe they won't, right? And part of that is it is a song that's been adopted all over the world. There are Brazilian versions, you know, there's a Portuguese version. I think there's a Japanese version, right? And this is because it speaks to all football fans and it's not at all about England owning football.
Well, I always thought in English sort of sense of humour that it had a slight element of sort of that gallows humour to it because all that hurt and all the, you know, it's not about us necessarily beating our chest and saying we're the greatest, we invented football. It's got that edge to it that, you know, we've not done that well.
Actually, we're a bit pissed. Actually, No, that's fine.
I think that maybe gets lost sometimes.
Well, I think it's very important. I honestly do think it's very important because when we wrote the song, and I'm seeing Frank, he lives in my road. It's a weird thing. Frank has often lived in my road. I lived in another road and he bought a house in that road.
He's following you. Walking.
But anyway, when we first wrote the song, I think our main thing was, well, all the other songs beforehand, we like them. We like Back Home and we like This Time more than any other time or whatever. But they sort of suggest we're going to win, and that's not true. And so if we want to do a song that chimes with the real experience of England football fans, it's got to be a song how we mainly lose. It's a vulnerable song, really. It's kind of a vulnerable song.
Yeah.
And so that's quite important, because when you were at Wembley in Euro 96 and there were people waving flags of St George or whatever, it didn't feel at all like triumphalist or nationalist or bad. It felt really like, oh, here's a sort of vulnerable, lovely form of English patriotism. It's partly because of the song, I think, because they're not singing a song about how we're going to, you know, conquer, like Royal Britannia is, or whatever. They're singing a song about, you know, oh, we mainly lose, but hopefully we might win this time. It's kind of the boiled down version of Three Lions.
Well, mate, trust me, every time I hear it, it brings back some fantastic memories for me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing.
One thing I have just said on Twitter is that I'm about to do your podcast. I'm wondering how much or how little ponytail chat to do. And I've done none so far.
Oh, no.
So when did you actually lose it?
So I lost it in probably about 06. I cut it off for charity.
All right.
Yeah. But
with the tash, did the tash go the same time as the ponytail?
Tash went a little bit later.
Oh, did it?
he got shorter and shorter, and I was like, right, just let it go for now.
So you don't want to make a tash too short, otherwise you do look like Hitler. That is a bit of a problem with it. A short league of a tash. Yeah. It was a great look, David. I mean, I still see you now. I think something's missing.
A lot of people do. Oh God, hang on a minute. I get that on Twitter. They were like, "When did you take your ponytail off?" And I'm like, "Wow, where have you been?"
I know, but I think one of the things about the way you're seen, if you're at all, you know, someone who's known, is that some people, depends on their age, have a version of you that is that's it. So quite a lot of people have a version of me that is totally also 1996.
Yeah.
And I know this because sometimes I have, not that many, but I have some professional lookalikes. You can, I mean, God knows how much.
Yeah, but you just said the word "some" in there. No. You have some.
Yeah. Well, I think I have about three professional lookalikes. I don't think they get much work, but they don't look like this.
Well, they might do when the tournaments come round.
Yeah, they don't look like this. They look more like you, Adam.
Right? I thought you meant me. I was like, whoa.
They look like, they look like Adam because they're just a bloke with a beard and glasses, but dark hair, and because it's me in 1996. That they think is the sort of fixed image of.
I've never been called David Baddiel in 1996 before, but
there's a first. There you go.
I'm thinking of it as flattering. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, people will think of David definitely with the ponytail and the moustache, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Do you know what, as well? So if you look at the photos in Euro 2000,
yeah,
didn't have it. It was on its way.
Had it by then?
No, it hadn't started. It was after 2000 that I started with the ponytail.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, I've got it all mixed up. That's
interesting. But again, I think if you like what you're saying, once you've got that kind of picture in your mind, that's when you know you've actually made it into the public consciousness as well. And it's that sort of iconic. I don't know why. First thing that springs to mind, being a big Queen fan, you know, they spanned decades and decades, but it's still Freddie Mercury with the tash, with the, you know, with the Wembley and the yellow jacket. It's that. So for David, it's almost like, you know, the ponytail and the tash and all of that, that's into the public consciousness now, and that's how it will always be. And that's incredible to get to that stage.
Well, that's right. So David, if you were, you know, in an imaginary universe, if you were burying the tash and the moustache and the ponytail, right, what would be the dates on the gravestone? when are you talking about?
Well, I always say I was born with a tash.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah, but the ponytail, yeah, the ponytail was born in probably 2000.
Right.
And then went in 2006.
Right. So he kept it for a while.
Yeah.
So when was Naeem on the halfway line?
That was 95.
Right, because the gag. Well, I'm playing David, right, in goal, and Naeem himself is in it.
Yeah.
He kicks the ball really high. Then there's a long comedy sequence where me and Frank are on a spaceship watching the ball go all the way up. And then it comes down again, and I'm playing David, and I'm saying, oh, there's something behind me that I'm missing. I'm sure there's something I'm missing. And I fall over, and that leaves the ball going in there. So that's completely out of date and wrong. But
yeah, but I know where you're going.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Also, I remember coming on the show as well, the Fantasy Football League.
Yeah. Did you just come on once? I can't remember.
I think it was just once, yeah. I remember.
You were in a sketch. Were you in a sketch? Or were you just chatted to?
I think I was just chatting in the studio, but I can't get Stato out of my head with his pyjamas on.
Really
want to. Loved Stato. You want to sleep. Love
we're gonna
that.
We're gonna be making it big in San Francisco again.
Yeah. Stato's still around somewhere. You know, we found him at Arsenal. Found him.
he was lost before.
No, but the guy who produced Fantasy Football, apparently Stato, Angus Loughran is his real name. He was doing the halftime, you know, stuff, Arsenal. Yeah. And he had the microphone and he was just talking about the game or whatever. And then when he turned up, we kind of couldn't believe it. So for anyone who doesn't know, because Fantasy Football was on quite a long time ago, as well as me and Frank, we used to have this bloke called Stato who used to, for some reason, we put him in pyjamas and a dressing gown. And I think the premise was he's such a football nerd that he doesn't bother to get dressed. He just basically puts the dressing gown on and looks at, it would have been probably CFAX at the time, about the football results all day. Actually, Angus himself is a big horse racing guy. That's what
that
is.
Yeah, he wins. He goes on the Bobby Moore sports quiz night and his table always wins.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When he's there, his table always wins.
Well, he does know a lot of stuff about sport in general, not just football, but as I say, horse racing and whatever. But I'm glad he's, you know, I'm glad he's found something else to do, because fantasy football hasn't been on since 2004. So that's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We can't let you go, Davey, without saying or asking you, what are your thoughts on Chelsea and how close will they be?
Well, they're not going to win. Yeah. They're not going to win the league. It's going to be Manchester City, I am sure. I think, you know, I like Tuchel a lot. I think that he's a good manager, and I think he's made some good investments. We've got this bloke coming from Mönchengladbach, possibly. I can't remember his name now. But we've got some player coming from Borussia Mönchengladbach who could be great, because although Lukaku is a brilliant player, I think, you know, it's obvious that to win the Premier League now, you need a lot of strength in depth. I mean, this is a really, I'm sounding like bloody, you know, a dull pundit now. But it's true, you know, it's true. Players come and go. You know, we've suffered as well because Ben Chilwell and Reece James have been out for so long. And they were, to some extent, you know, I mean, they were scoring so many goals from wing-back positions, those two. They're both so brilliant. So I think we suffered a bit there. Kante is absolutely also the heart of the team, and he's been in and out of the team with injuries and whatever. So I think it's been difficult, but I think the basic, you know, football that we play there now is really good. I just think we need a bit more to get to the level that Man City are on. Did you watch the Liverpool game, the 2-2 Liverpool game?
Yeah,
that was quite a good example of, like, because I'm so used to Chelsea, I've got this kind of folk memory, which is not really fair anymore because we've obviously won the league quite a lot, European Cup or whatever. But I've still got this folk memory from when I was a kid of us always screwing up, right? And so when we were 2-0 down to Liverpool, I thought, well, this is typical of Chelsea. It's typical of Chelsea. But then they turned it round, right? And I think Chelsea fans like to moan. Maybe all football fans do. Right? They like to moan. Andy Jacobs, who was the producer of Fantasy Football, is a big Chelsea fan, and honestly, I think he's the happier than when he's moaning about Chelsea. So I don't want to moan. I want to say I think we've got a good squad. I think Tuchel's good, and I think we might, you know, might challenge next season for the Premier League, but we're not going to win this season.
Well, it's been amazing having you on, mate.
My pleasure. It's been a real joy.
I just want to say, when it does come home, I want to be there, because it's going to be one hell of a party.
Yeah, let's hope it happens in our lifetime.
Exactly, mate. Exactly.
Yes, please.
Thanks very much.
Not just in Lindsay's lifetime, in our lifetime. All right, it's been great talking to you.
Brilliant.
Cheers, David.
Thanks, David.
Bye.
See you later.
This is a Listening Dog Media production.
Podcast Network.